This is Kelly Henderson, and you are listening to the Velvet's Edge podcast. This is part two of my podcast with the amazing author, speaker, and spiritual cheerleader, Ruthie Lindsay. I hope you guys enjoyed last week's as much as I did. I was literally taking notes by the end of this week's podcast. Ruthie is so full of wisdom, but it's the kind of wisdom that you only get once you've walked through pain. This week, we talked more about ways to heal mentally, physically, and emotionally. I even got a little choked up in one part of the conversation listening to Ruthie talk about a mutual friend of ours who passed away when I was in college. Ruthie also gives some updates on how to keep your journey going, which can feel extremely overwhelming. So, of course, being the brilliant gal that she is starting a workshop on October 5th to help people navigate different tools that would be useful daily to not only heal, but also to reclaim your power and find your voice. Details are in the description of this podcast, and here's this week's conversation. I love that you're in this place now of finding this kind of healing. And because in the book, you talk so much about, you know, it was just like the next pill, the next surgery, the next,
that's right.
It was never really addressing what was going on for you. And what you get to in the book is that healing so much of your emotional trauma and the mental stuff was actually the thing that brought you the most relief physically, which I just find, I did an interview actually a couple weeks ago with a retired spine surgeon who does not do surgery anymore for this exact reason, because he said so much of spine surgery is unnecessary. Half of the time, the practices that work the best are treating the anxiety or treating.
That's right.
It was so fascinating.
Period.
Period.
Like, the body keeps the score. That book.
Yeah.
And there's so much information about this out there right now that it's like, it's so real. Our bodies are manifesting our emotional trauma. And so often these, you know, things like people are like, they can't figure out the source of why my back is hurting so bad and why I'm having this knee problem and why. And I, you know, it's not to say like what's so hard and what gets so nuanced is people, when they hear you say there's emotional trauma that wants to be healed, they might hear you say it's all in your head and it's not real.
Totally.
And that is
the
exact opposite. Like, listen, my pain has been very, 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 very real. Like, it kept me in a bed for 7 years of my life.
Right. Like, it's not like you're making this up. Why would you ever do that? Yeah.
Never. But what I also know is I had some massive emotional trauma from past lives, from past generations, and this life that I wasn't addressing. And I looked to every doctor. I looked to my husband. I looked to narcotics. I looked to all this physical therapy. Fix me, make me better. Fix me, make me better. Daddy, fix me, make me better. Mm. Drugs, fix me, make me better. And nothing outside of us can ever fix us.
Yeah.
Period. End of story. Mm. Can things be tools? Can people be mirrors? Can there be, you know, things that are of service that help us on our journeys? Absolutely. 100%. And like, listen, I am not a doctor, and I'm also not saying that there aren't reasons for surgery. If you have a stage 4 cancer, you need to go in and get that removed.
Right.
But there also has to be emotional work that goes along with it. And if you think this one surgery is going to fix all of your problems and you don't have to come back home to yourself to do the emotional work, to do the trauma release, we're missing it. Like, we are missing it. And I just, it's actually, again, all the pain is calling us home. It's not torturing us just to be mean. We're not suffering because the universe hates us. The universe loves us so much. And suffering, like, I will say this, I don't believe that I have to suffer anymore. I create my suffering. Do I think I'll have pain? 100%. I will have pain in this life. I also truly believe that suffering is a state of mind. Mm. And like, I've had some really deep loss since I've learned about a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, really deep loss. And I can say to you, I haven't suffered. Have I in the past? 100%. It's been so traumatic. And it's also taught me that, like, being really loving to myself and trusting that I am being held and that this is for my good and this is happening for me and not to me can very quickly shift my idea of suffering into, okay, this is pain that's calling me back home, calling me back in to do this work that is so loving, that I am so deserving of. And I don't have to stay in that state of suffering. I can use it as a tool to come home.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I piss a lot of doctors off a lot on this podcast because I speak so much about how important I think emotional healing is for our physical bodies. But I think it's like you said, I'm not saying at all that Western medicine is not necessary or that science isn't real. I believe it. I just think I actually am very excited because I think a lot of Western medicine is starting to believe a little bit more in a little, you know, the Eastern and Western combination seems to be happening a little bit more. And I just think that's so, so important. I had a therapist tell me one time, because I had been put on a medicine, this was so long ago, but I was in a very unhealthy relationship and I had a lot of anxiety. And so they put me on Wellbutrin or something for that to treat it constantly. And like over a year or two time that I was on it, just lost myself. And turns out all of the anxiety that I was having was because of some dysfunctional things happening. And all that I did by taking that pill was silence my own inner voice that knew what was going on. Do you know what I'm saying? And she said, the therapist said to me, you know, your anxiety, it is uncomfortable, but it's here to show you something. And it's not necessarily like I have to kind of, because of some trauma that I've had, I have to talk myself through that some, you know, when I can get really anxious because the story can be a false narrative from my past. But when I listen to it or check in even or ask myself, you know, like, what is this or what's going on, or talk to my body the way that you're talking about, there's always something. And it's real. Like you said, the body keeps the score.
And I am, listen, again, I am not a doctor. I am not saying wipe out all medicine. All I can speak to is my situation. And I think, you know, are there places for narcotics? Yeah. If you have surgery, it's for acute pain. Like if you break, when I broke my neck, you needed
medicine.
Pain meds. 100%. But the chronic, the ongoing, like this is actually the first time since I was a teenager that I'm off all medication.
Yeah.
And it is life-changing. It has been one of the most beautiful things that I've ever done for myself. And let me say again, I am not saying, this is not a blanket statement. I am not a doctor. I am not saying that there isn't a place for medicine in your life. I don't know your situation. I can only speak to my own. And I had a lot of stories that I believed, and I don't need those anymore. And now Mother Nature plants have become my medicine, and I feel better than I feel better emotionally than I ever have in this life, period. End of story. Like, that is no doubt. And then I also feel better physically all the time. Like I am continuing to do really intensive physical healing on my body. And I really believe that I'm not going to have physical pain in this life. Like I just really believe that and speak that and hold, and like, will I have acute things that happen? Yeah. I'll stub my toe. That'll hurt. But I'm talking about the chronic.
Yeah. Well, I love that in the book, you know, so much of the book talks about your pain story. Then you talk about your healing story. And then at the very end, you say, I'm not trying to say that my life is perfect now. And you get very honest about like the daily journey that this is. And I think that is so important. And I love that you said that at the end, because when I think that's kind of like the fantasy life we all want to buy into. I know it is for me. Like I told you, when I went to my first therapy intensive, I'm like, that will be it now. Like I am good. And it's not the way it looks. And it's just a continuous journey that If I yep. don't remember that place or that mentality, I get overwhelmed again. And it feels like yes. that. How am I back here? And you're never back there totally.
That's
you can't
right.
be because you can't unknow what you know now.
Oh, I love that you just said that. Listen, last summer was one of the darkest times of my entire life.
Really?
So I lived in my bed 7 years, had a nervous breakdown. At the time, I thought all my pain was around physical pain. I changed my life. I weaned myself off 7 years of narcotics. I learned to live again. I jumped into trying to help as many people as possible. I've done such massive amounts of work. And they also say things happen in 7 year cycles, which,
oh
hello,
God.
7 years, That's, bed, seven
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
And the exact week of my nervous breakdown last summer was 7 years.
Wow.
At the 7 year anniversary, I stopped sleeping again.
Oh my God.
And here's what's so wild. I wasn't grounded. I'd done a ton of work, but there was still a lot of work to do. I'd
yeah.
given so much power away to someone. It was just this perfect storm. And I had been on sleep medication since I was a teenager.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
and I believed that I had to be on that because of pain. I believed that with every part of me. And you know, what's so interesting is I actually started taking it before I started having debilitating chronic pain. And I think it's because I just didn't want to be awake. I didn't mm-hmm. want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I was so not connected to myself and to my soul. And I didn't want to be here. And I wanted to be asleep. And that not sleeping, it was so, I mean, it's traumatizing not sleeping.
It's like, the worst. I mean, whatever pain you're going through only gets worse when you don't sleep.
Everything enhances. Everything comes
yeah.
up. Everything is worse. And again, it brought up shit that I didn't, like I said, I didn't know I had early preverbal trauma. And I had no idea. And it wanted to be healed.
Mm.
And that brought me to the awareness of it. I learned about some stuff that was like, because I knew this time around, this isn't just about physical pain. There is some stuff that I'm not aware of, some like deep rooted trauma that wants to be healed that I had no idea about. And it definitely showed me, and it was definitely painful. And I literally, my shame story was, I've done so much work. How could I be back here?
That is so Yes.
And I would lay awake at night traumatized, having panic attacks, being so like, are you kidding? I had finished my book.
Oh
and I'm
my
like,
gosh, really?
I am a fraud. I
yeah.
am a fraud.
Yeah.
I am a fraud. I am a fraud. And now I can say with the deepest conviction, it was so important. It was an ego death.
Mm.
And will I have more? Absolutely. But it was an ego death. And the new life that came out of that, again, first time since a teenager, I'm not on any sleep medication. I sleep, I mean, easily got 8.5 hours of sleep last night. Like it brought me home to do even more healing work that was so hard and so beautiful.
Yeah.
Like I am so in awe of myself, of my resilience, of this beautiful body of mine that has gone through so much, that has been so courageous and doing such amazing healing work. Like, I'm so touched and I'm so endeared to me. And as painful as last year was, again, I would not change a thing because it got me exactly to this moment. And this moment is so beautiful and so needed. And again, will I have more stuff? Yes. Like, of course,
yeah.
That's Earth School. And it's only for my betterment. And I hope that I trust myself and choose to lean in and to continue to do the healing work. Because again, we have free will and I don't have to choose it. But like, I don't want to keep coming back and learning this shit.
I know. It's too painful. Yeah. I mean, I think that I love where you are because I know for me, that's what I need to hear. I do think there's one thing to having gone through such serious pain. The 7 year thing is so insane. I'm glad you reminded me of that. But when you go through something and you get to the other side and you see the hope and you can look back and like what you're saying right now, where you go, I wouldn't have changed anything. You can have gratitude for all the pain even. to me, that's where when you get to the next one, the next 7-year journey or whatever it is, that you can maybe hold on to the hope of, you know, there's another side. Like, I do notice that where I am right now, like, I've had just shit. And it's just like one after another of this, the deconstruction of what I have built for my life the last couple years, which feels like it's, I'm being robbed. But I keep trying to say to myself, I was just, that wasn't the right path, or that wasn't where I was supposed to go next on this journey, or the, you know,
that's
like the deconstruction is just to build something up better. And the only way I know that though, is from walking through the pain of the past and healing certain things. What do you feel like your biggest breakthrough has been?
Like, what's brought about the biggest breakthrough, or just what, like, the breakthrough was?
Maybe what the breakthrough was. Like, especially this last year, what do you feel like the thing you were walking away having learned would be the biggest
thing? I think realizing how powerful my words are has been so transformative. Like, again, we are co-creators in our own reality. And if we have these limiting voices and these limiting stories, we are going to create limiting, like, what your day in, day out life is, like, you're going to create that.
Yeah.
Your present condition is all connected with your past thought patterns. Like, I really, there's a book, I hate the title more than life. It's like actually the worst title, because this for me is not about money. It's called A Happy Pocket Full of Money.
Okay.
And I want to tear the cover off, because I'm like, that is the actual fucking worst title. But it's all about this thing, about quantum physics, which they make it very doable and digestible, but how we speak into our reality, like, we speak our reality into form. And it's all about abundance and consciousness and awakening to realizing, like I said, when I said I am broken, my body hates me, I hurt worse every year. Wow. And when I started saying consciously, I am healed, I am healed, I am healed, the people that started coming in to help me on my healing journey, the way my body started transforming, like, it's just the way, like, my bank account has changed since I believed that I am abundance. My relationships have changed since I believed these words for myself and didn't believe the limiting story. So I think realizing that I am this co-creator in my reality and the form that I'm living in, and I am statements and speaking love and truth into the world. Like, I really believe in the law of attraction. Like, what we speak out there comes back to us.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what this book is about. And that's what I really consciously try to be so aware of what I'm speaking out. If I'm speaking just hatred and ugliness about, you know, politicians and people that believe different things than I do, then I'm othering them, and I'm not remembering that I'm connected, and those words come back to me. And it's so powerful. And our words, God, I mean, all religions speak about this. You know, Christianity speaks about this. Buddhism speaks about this. Like, they all speak about the power of our words. Like, again, what Hafiz says, it becomes the house that we live in. And I think for me, that has been such a transformative breakthrough, because I watch it. I could give you 8 million stories of just seeing, because when I choose to look for that, like, we don't see the world as it is. We see it as we are. Ugh. So if I'm seeing it through this limiting view of everything's fucked up, everything's broken, nothing will ever work in my favor, guess what? That's exactly how I'm going to experience it. But if I wake up and I'm like, what miracles am I going to experience today? Like, hi, universe, I am so open. I am this abundant creature. I cannot wait to see what you have in store. And I can't wait to shower the people around me, the plants in my life, the animal in my life. Like, I literally, when I'm on walks in nature, I will ask, this sounds so woo-woo, and it's just, but it's true. I will be like, whoever walks behind me on this path, may they be blessed. May they feel so much love. When I cross people, when I'm in the zone, I'll say, send them so much love. May they feel held and cared for. Like, because I know also that that all comes back to me. So it's like, maybe that's selfish. I don't know. But it's this.
I was just thinking, I hope I walk on a path next to you.
But it's just this precious, loving, ever flowing. And when I say the abundance, I feel like I get so much more back.
Yeah.
Like so much more back constantly. Like one example, literally, this is an example. Last week, my business manager, I have this one account that's just for giving. And like, he wrote me and he was like, Ruthie, I love this, but like, that one's low right now. Like, just for a minute, take a break. And in my head, I'm like, he doesn't know about wealth consciousness, even though I hired him because I love that he is so grounded and I need him. But literally, that exact day, I had already done something and like, whatever, spent money out of that account that he was telling me to take a break on. That evening, I go to dinner with one of my girlfriends. She treats me to dinner. And then she was like, I've been meaning to give this to you. A year ago, I recommended someone to work with her a year ago. And I did it because she's incredible. And I knew that everyone would win in that.
Yeah.
She was like, I want to give you a percentage of that. And she literally gave me a check for $2,000.
Oh my God.
That day.
Oh my God.
Hey, was I expecting that or what?
No.
Like what the fuck? I, but just out of nowhere, because the universe, like I had done this thing literally the day he had said not to do
it. Yeah.
And I'm like, I know that comes back to me tenfold. And it did so much more than the thing that I had done. And like that shit happens all and start watching it, start paying attention. And like, the universe hears us. And when we speak with clear goals and clear manifestations and clear, like, I am healed. I see that. I visualize myself healed. I visualize myself with my partner and like what that looks like. And I make a very clear picture of what it is that I trust is good and of service for my soul and for the collective. And like, I watch it happen.
What would you say to, I mean, because I feel like I am just listening to you thinking, yes, like this is exactly right. And I know how much I get in my own way a lot. But I do think that, you know, a lot of people listening could easily say, okay, like I'm just going to start saying this shit and it's going to happen in my life, you know, blah, 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 blah. And like one of the examples that you talk about in the book is your infertility. Are bumping up against, you know, not being able to have a child. And I've gone through the same struggles. And I'm wondering, how are you resolving that in your own mind now? Or what does that look like? And have you had any different stories since the book has been out about that?
Totally. Yeah. And you know, the things that don't come to us, it's because something else is for you. You know, like, when there was someone I was convinced I was supposed to marry and that was my future.
Yeah.
And I spoke that over and over and it didn't happen. And I'm like, okay, so that makes space for whatever it is. Like that dream wasn't big enough or it wasn't fulfilled because there's something else for me, for my growth and for my involvement. And I trust that. You have to hold things with open palms and trust that whatever does come is exactly what you need and it's of service. And for me, not like I thought for sure I was supposed to have all these babies and that I am here to be a mother. And you know what's so interesting? The first time I ever did ayahuasca, she came to me and she said, Ruthie, you are a mother. You have been mothering this room this whole night. You just mothered our shaman and you're here to be a mother in the world. And at the time I was still in a lot of limiting stories. I'm like, okay, that's real extra to the world. Like, come
right.
on. And now, I mean, I know that that is true. I get to be a mother and listen, I'm not saying that there's not like, maybe I'll be a stepmom. Maybe I'll also be, you know, a mother biologically? I don't know. But right now, because I am not a biological mother, I have so much room and so much space to mother the people in my life, to do mothering work, and like the people that come to me for healing work, I get to mother them and love them and speak such love and light and truth that is theirs,
yeah,
all over them. And literally 2 weekends ago, I got to do some healing work on these guys, and separately, and they don't know any of that story. They don't even know my past. Separately, 3 different men came up to me and were like, I felt like you were my mom. Like, you spoke words that I always needed my mom to say to me, or you looked at me the way that my mom looked at me before she passed, you know, like,
wow.
And it was the most beautiful thing, because I am a mother. I am. I was not wrong when I felt like, when people say, what do you want to be when you grow up? A mom.
Yeah.
Because I am. That is so deeply embedded in me, to show up and to mother people, to mother my friends. I get to mother my friends' children in the most precious ways. And I have so much space and so much capacity to do that, because I am not in the day in, day out mothering. That is just so beautiful and so fucking exhausting.
Yeah.
Like, it's so exhausting. And so I have this depth and this width and this abundance to be able to do that on such a large scale for so many, because I don't have children in my home that I'm taking care of day in and day out. And I believe that with every part of me. And it doesn't feel like I'm sacrificing. Listen, I let myself mourn that story that I believed.
Yeah.
I really did. I let myself rage about it and feel deep, deep tears and mourning and loss. And now that doesn't feel like a loss to me anymore. Like, I feel in awe of the way that I get to show up in this world and mother, because that dream that I thought was who I was supposed to be didn't come true. Because this dream fulfills me on such a soul level, I can't even tell you.
Let's talk a little bit about, because you, part of your journey too was you got out of the bed after the 7-year period, but you were still in so much pain continuing to build a business. I think this was after your divorce possibly, but
yes,
you're going on to do public speaking. You've built this Instagram following, all the while feeling so much pain, smiling yes through it. How do you yes feel? Like, I relate so much in the book when you're talking about you feel like a fraud. Like, you're telling yes part of your story, but you're not happy all the time. You're not, you know, yep, you're walking through so much pain while you do this, and no one knows.
Yes.
So
yes,
how have you done things differently now? Or how are you finding your yeah voice in a public atmosphere like that?
You know, I think when I changed my life and I jumped into, okay, you can like lay in your bed and hurt all the time, or you can be out with people and serving and trying to love people and
yeah
speak hope and serve. It came from such an earnest place, you know, but I had totally bypassed myself. And I was speaking about my pain story. I was speaking about like, there is still hope and there's joy in the brokenness and there's beauty in suffering. Because you heard those words, brokenness and suffering. Like, I believe that I still was broken and
yeah
I had to suffer all the time. And that became my new story. And I would show up and smile and I could be there, you know, but then I would go home and I would crash so hard because I was in so much pain. And I was, my new drug became Instagram and getting, I needed to be needed. I needed their affirmation and their love. And that became my new fix. That became the new drug. And
again, from an outside source, getting your validation.
Exactly.
Yes.
It was the
same. We all
same
do it. I mean, yeah.
Totally. And it's everything I've been taught. And so that's why I said my true healing came in unlearning that. And honestly, I don't know, this could totally shift and transform into other ways, but Instagram has just become a very different thing for me. I used to share every aspect of my life, and I honor that. If that's what other people want to do, that is great. I don't have any judgment for how anyone uses their platform, their social media, but for me, I don't share nearly as much. I hope that when I do, it it comes from a more grounded and depth place, and it can be of service.
Yeah.
But I don't feel the need. I don't need to be needed anymore. Like, I don't feel the need to show up at every aspect of my life. A lot of things are just sacred to me. Mm. A lot of things are just for me. A lot of things are just for me and my people. A lot of things are just for me and God. Like, I don't feel the need to share every aspect of my life, because it's just, it's not for everyone. And that has part of my Instagram suffered because of that. It depends on what you call suffering. Like, you know, when I shifted my story from being in deep pain, but finding hope in that, to I don't have to be in deep pain all the time. I am healing. I am going to heal. I lost a lot of followers.
Really?
And what's so interesting is I have so much grace for them, because when I was in my pain story and parked there, if someone had told me, and they did, you can heal, you don't have to hurt like this every day, I would want to punt them to the moon and be like, bitch, I'm the only human in the world that's had a wire in their brain.
Right.
You know, like, fuck you. And it was offensive to me. And so I have offended people that are still in their pain story. And I honor that, because they're exactly, you know, that's their journey.
Wow.
And now the people that come in are very different. I've also gained a lot of followers. And those, like, it's interesting, because it used to be like, if you'd read people's header that were in my, you know, followers, so often it's like, beauty in the brokenness,
yeah,
joy in the suffering, chronic pain warrior.
Right.
Those are the people that follow me. And there are a lot of those people that have stuck around and are still there, and their change, their pain story is changing. And then the people that are coming in, it's so often like awakening, consciousness, you know, healing. And I've drawn in, because again, law of attraction, I've drawn in different audiences. I've drawn in different people that are on the healing journey, that believe in all of the stuff that I'm talking about, that believe in consciousness, that believe in awakening, that believe in healing, that believe that, you know, our words are power. And I honor wherever anyone is. Like, when people leave, I honor that.
Yeah.
We are not for everyone. And when people come, I honor that. And both, neither are really my business. I am here to be my truest self. I really want to go deeper down into more grounded, more depth. And I want my message to be one of, that's really integrated, that's one of healing, of hope, of light, of consciousness, that this love and light is everyone's, that this isn't mine, it's ours. But it's just going to look different. And so, you know, I spend a lot more time in nature than I do on my phone. I delete Instagram all the fucking time, and it feels like a dream. I love,
God, it sounds like
not having it on my phone.
Yeah.
I love not having it on my phone. And I don't believe that my work will quote unquote suffer, because I think it's just going to open up doors for my work to look different.
Yeah.
And I honor that. And will that come through Instagram? I don't know. I love the people that are there, but I also don't feel like I owe anyone, anything. I owe myself to be true to myself and then be a mirror of that to the collective. But it's not because I'm like, I'm here to fix you. I can't fix you, but you can.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so interesting, because, you know, like, Instagram for me has become a business, and you feel like indebted to give people what you've set up or whatever, but like, that's not how my life works all the time.
Right.
Like, there is just a season I'm in right now where I'm just like, I don't even know what I want to say. Like, but so then I find myself just like posting for the sake of posting, but it never really connects in the same way. It doesn't feel good to do. Like, for me, it doesn't feel good. And it just feels like, I don't know. It's just, so it's interesting. I just liked that you'd address that in the book, because it's so crazy how we all get on these social media apps and we just compare and we look at people's outsides and judge our insides based off of that. And it's just not, it's a great resource, but it's also like a really scary one to me, because I don't feel like it's rooted in reality.
Right. The Social Dilemma. Have you watched that yet?
No, I probably need to.
Girl, I'm recommending it to everyone.
Okay.
Like it just gives you the facts.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I need
to look into this.
Highly recommend.
Well, the book is called There I Am. Another huge part of this book is you talk through the really important relationships, you know, the significant relationships, the significant things that happened. We have a very mutual friend, and it brought me to tears so many times in the book because I have never read a description of her specifically that was so on point. Like this is what I was saying to you earlier. It's like the way that you described her was exactly how I remember her. And I felt like I was seeing her again. I could feel her hug again. So let's talk a little bit about Laura Trappendahl because I'm going to cry.
She
was one of my dear friends growing up, and you, this is how weird our journeys have been, but you met her in college, right?
Yes.
So tell me why she's so impactful in your life.
We had heard a bunch about each other before she got there. She's younger than me. And, everyone was like, oh my God, I can't wait for you to meet Laura. Y'all are the exact same. You're the exact same. And as soon as she got there, I knew that we weren't. I knew that we were different, but I felt very connected to her.
Yeah.
Like we were instantly connected to each other, but I knew that the way I needed to be needed. So I showed up and I was, you know, I smiled and I was really kind to everyone and I was really doty all over everyone, but I needed their affirmation and their love to feel okay about myself. And I knew that hers came from a different place. Mm. Like she loved from a place of love, out of abundance, of knowing how loved she was. Not to say that she was perfect, of course not. Like, but there was this light inside. She was like the most magnetic human
I
think I'd ever met. And I remember, of course I have jealousy in me, but I wouldn't call myself like a jealous person, but I remember feeling jealous of her because I was like, I want that kind of authentic love. I want people to be drawn to me from that kind of place, but I had no idea how to do it. Mm. I just knew that it was different. And I knew that I didn't have the language for it. I didn't have the insight yet. I just knew that the way we showed up in the world came from a different place, that mine came from a place of lack and hers came from a place of love and wholeness and abundance. And we just really, really loved each other so much. And she died, on paper, she was killed by a drunk driver. And on paper, her injuries were way, way less damaging than mine. Like mine were way worse. And I just remember feeling a lot of survivor's guilt. And when I lived in my bed and had my nervous breakdown, I thought about her on a loop. I would have nervous breakdowns every night and I'd say, Laura should be here and I shouldn't. Mm. Laura would be changing the world and I am a waste of breath and a waste of space and I shouldn't be here. And I felt such deep shame and such deep just loathing for myself and wishing she were here and I were dead. And when I changed my life, when I woke up, when I began healing, what I realized is, one, I believe Laura and I have done many, many lives together. Like we are so connected. She's actually one of my spirit guides. Mm. I feel her. She is with me all the time, guiding me and loving me. And what I know now is she is here with me to help me do the work that I'm here to do on this planet. And actually what's so wild, she was here to teach me. Like she taught me what it looked like to love from abundance. And when people feel love from me, they are getting to experience a piece of Laura. Mm. And what's really wild, I went to a healer. It was my first time seeing her. She knew nothing about me. She didn't even have a cell phone. She has a landline. Like this woman is from Switzerland.
I love her.
Just the most, she is like one of the most profound humans I've ever encountered. But on my very first visit, she goes, one of your guides is here and she wants you to know, this is crazy, that she knows you still feel extreme survivor's guilt about her death. And she wants you to know that she chose to die when she did, and so that she could bring healing to her family from the other side. Mm. And so that she could be with you and so many others to do the healing work that you're here to do in this life. Mm. And I just started bawling, crying, because I knew it was Laura. Yeah. I mean, obviously. And I actually told this story to Coco, her mom, who I've gotten so close with over the years. And she said, Ruthie, what's so wild is I have heard in my prayers and in my meditations so many times over the years that Laura chose, that she got to choose, and she chose to die because she knew that it would ultimately bring so much healing to our family and to so many others. And I know that that's true. And she goes, and what's so beautiful is she has healed our family.
Wow. Well, tell her hi for me next time you talk to her.
Oh, you can tell her hi anytime. I know. Hears you. She hears you. She 100% does. I dedicated the book to her. I mean, yeah. I have a painting above my altar that her mom painted for me of this tree she named Isaiah that she sat under when Laura died. And, you know, there's all kinds of stories about her in the book, but what an impact in her few 19 years on planet Earth she had on so many lives, and it's continuing. Like, she is with me. I have that tree tattooed on my arm, and she has like been such a healer in my life. Yeah. And has spoken such love and truth and hope and helped me remember so much truth. I'm so honored that I've gotten to do, you know, so many lives with her, that she's a part of my soul family, that she's here with us right now. She is just love and light and hope and beauty. And, oh, I'm so grateful for her.
Yes. Oh, that one got me. The book is called There I Am. I'm going to put it in the link in the description for this podcast. You guys, go get it. It has been, I've read it in 2 days. I think I could not put it down. It just spoke to me so much. And like I said, I relate so much where I am in this season. I love the way you tell stories. I feel like I know your family, your marriage, all of it. You know, it was just very enticing. Where else can people find you?
Yeah. Well, you can go to Instagram at Ruthie Lindsey, LINDSEY. You can go to my website, ruthielindsey.com, and there's all kind of resources on there. And then actually, what's really exciting, we just shared about it this week, but my girlfriend Ashley Lemieux, who's so powerful and has done so much healing work, she and I have a course coming out, starts October 5th, that is going to be this beautiful 30-day healing journey of all the things that we've been learning and so many resources. And we'll be doing like weekly calls. We have just breath work, meditations, just so many tools that have been so helpful to make it. Just healing is so overwhelming. It's like, where do you start?
So overwhelming.
It is so overwhelming.
I love that description because I think it can turn a lot of people away. But it's just like one foot in front of the other. You take it one day at a time, like they say.
Exactly. And we called it reclaiming home because our bodies are actually our only thing we'll ever own in this life. And so coming back into our bodies and to our true home and realizing how safe and held and loved we are. So it's like a reclamation. It's coming back home to ourselves. And so I'll have more information on my website and on my Instagram about that. But yeah, there's resources also for the book on there. There's, if you want to do like a book club, there's all kind of yummy stuff on my website. So
RuthieLindsey.com is
exactly
right. And then you're at Ruthie Lindsey on Instagram.
I am. And at Lindsey Ruthie on Twitter.
Okay.
And I think it's Ruthie Lindsey Speaker on Facebook.
Okay. So all the Ruthie Lindseys, just
all
search
the Ruthie
them.
Lindsey. Yes. I obviously like my name a lot.
Ruthie, thank you so much for doing this and being here and sharing your story with us.
Oh, I'm so appreciative. Thank you so much for being so thoughtful and generous and kind and intentional with your words and your questions and the space that you've created. I'm so, so grateful.
The book is There I Am. You guys go check it out. And thank you for listening.